Time.
Item number two is a subdivision rezoning for the property located at the south side of Pandora Avenue West between Atwoods and Robson Streets under file DASZ 23/2011, and in accordance with the City of Orange County Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item number three is a variance for the subject property under file DAB 131902/2011D.
Okay, again, for everybody who's here on this item, I think majority of people are here on this item. Again, if you wish to speak, please ensure that you've registered outside, and that would be then given to the clerk. We're trying to, everybody has a right to speak. If you've already heard something that's been said, you don't necessarily have to speak. You just want to register it in support or in opposition or for information, you can do that too. You're not obliged to speak by registering tonight. And if you can just be, I know there's probably diverging opinions, if you just be respectful of what everybody's presenting at the time they're presenting, and then so that we can ensure that everybody has a proper hearing here today. All right. The applicant is Ravi Joshi. If you can just come forward, Mr. Joshi, and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ravi Joshi. I'm with Novamet Development Corporation, located at 1 Dr. David Friesen Drive, Winnipeg.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was hoping the majority of these people were here for the excess animal application. I guess not.
No such luck.
I'd like to thank the committee and the staff for the opportunity to present the application before you. Winnipeg is experiencing what is today a significant and rapid change. With a steady net influx of population, cultural change, and favorable fiscal growth, the city's profile is unquestionably rising. It is clear that this growth and performance will continue into the foreseeable future. It is also clear that this change needs to be properly managed to effectively move forward and embrace opportunities, not only for the people who live here, but for those who are considering living here. So what does this mean? Strategies have been developed, and objectives have been stated in the new municipal development plan, R Winnipeg, which sets the vision and direction for the city over the next 25 years. There is a strong acknowledgement that we need to look at how this city addresses growth, population, diversity, and affordability all on a comprehensive basis. I hope to show you how this proposal can make a contribution towards meeting these objectives. To start, I would like to provide a brief synopsis of the lands, followed by a recap of the R Winnipeg Complete Communities Policy Framework, which provide the guidance and direction for the plan, a review of the guiding principles we derived and applied, and finally, I will seek to clarify an item which appears in the ACG report and planning report. Our first board shows the context plan for the property. It is located at the intersection of Pandora Avenue West and Atwood Street, specifically bounded by Pandora to the north, Robson to the east, Atwood to the west, and existing homes on Kernahan to the south. The site is approximately 9.2 acres and currently vacant. There's a hydro line and gas line running along the Atwood frontage. The property enjoys easy access to major routes, including Regent Avenue, New Gold Road, Highway 59, and the Perimeter Highway. There is an existing network of public transit, which provides area residents with service to the downtown, as well as local industrial employment areas and regional shopping centers such as Kildonan Place. Contextually, the property is part of the Mission Gardens neighborhood and is immediately surrounded by a mix of uses, including residential, retail, commercial, and employment areas. It also has good proximity to area schools and parks. All in all, this is clearly an infill site. The property is currently zoned RR5, and this proposal is seeking to change it to a mix of RM1, RMFS, and RMFM. The project is in keeping with the goals and objectives of R Winnipeg, which identifies areas of stability and mature communities through its Complete Communities Policy Framework. Complete Communities states as a key objective that development in these areas should enhance the quality, diversity, completeness, and sustainability of stable neighborhoods and expand housing options for Winnipeg's changing population. Mature communities represent some of the most complete existing communities in Winnipeg. They present some of the best opportunities to accommodate infill development, to increase housing choice, and to maximize the use of existing infrastructure. In many cases, these neighborhoods are already well served by public transit and infrastructure. We feel this project is consistent with these objectives as the area will accommodate low and moderate density infill development. The project supports a more efficient use of land, services, and infrastructure, and provides the ability to deliver new housing choices. Many of the key concepts of this redevelopment were based on the direction of R Winnipeg and a Complete Community Strategy. The following key principles were developed in accordance to advance the project. The project should integrate with the fabric of the existing community and neighborhood. It needs to maintain consistency in the form and character of the neighborhood. It should take advantage of the collector road designation of Pandora Avenue and locate higher density along this frontage. Homes and buildings should have a street orientation on both principal and flanking streets. Consideration should be given for building heights and building orientation. The development should be sensitive and accessible to the changing demographics of the city. There should be a housing variety made available through a range of available prices, types, and sizes. The proposal includes the creation of an east-west street, the Berry Street extension, which can be seen on this middle board here, connecting Robson to Atwood, and a new lane connecting Atwood to Pandora. The northeast corner of the subject lands would be zoned RMFM to enable multifamily units on this on the property. Low-rise apartment buildings are ideal along Pandora Street, taking advantage of public transportation routes and acting as a buffer. This section of the site will have its own entrance and egress points. Townhomes are envisioned to be complementary to the neighborhood. These units will not exceed two stories and will be ground-oriented in their nature. These units will utilize a rear lane for vehicular access. The northwest corner of the subject lands will be zoned RMFS with a rear public lane. Single-family houses will be the lowest density form of this residential development and will be in keeping with the immediate surrounding homes. New single-family dwellings will front on the Berry Street extension on the southern half of the subject lands. On March 14, 2011, an open house was held through invitation to the immediate neighborhood. The format was open and people were asked to comment on the proposal being shown. We also received requests for information from a number of residents who were unable to attend the meeting. Copies of the presentation boards and comment sheets were sent out in response. We received a total of 29 responses. There was strong support for single-family houses at approximately 83%. There was 52% opposition to the apartments and 41% in support. There was 52% opposition to the townhomes and 28% in support. Based on the strength of the support for single-family and apartments, we felt it was appropriate to move forward with this application. Not surprisingly, support came from people who wish to sell their homes but stay in the neighborhood. Additionally, the nature of the support for apartments has led to the notion of a 55-plus building as one of the two market apartment buildings being proposed. We are of the opinion there is a relevant need for the townhouse product as well. However, should this not bear out, the RMFS zoning being sought will allow the flexibility to convert the site to a single-family site. We have received no departmental opposition from our initial plan circulation. Transit has given an especially strong endorsement, adding that this is an excellent location for multifamily development. It is served by routes 42, 87, 90, and 92, which will give residents an excellent transit resource. I'd like to also clarify an item within the ACG and planning reports. There's a requirement for contribution for installed services. It's our understanding through subsequent discussion with city staff that there are no contributions owing as the recoveries were made through an LI. Therefore, we respectfully request that paragraph B1 of the ACG report be deleted. It also appears under Schedule B in the planning report. In conclusion, we have an opportunity here to revitalize a vacant and underutilized infill site and to reintegrate it into the existing community. Our Winnipeg was formally approved just this past August, and this proposal meets the intent the city has put forward under its complete community section of the new official plan. The proposal provides opportunities for people of all stages of life to work and play close to home. The project contributes to reduced sprawl and shows fiscal, environmental, and social responsibility. It aims to provide a safer neighborhood overall through the application of the concept of crime prevention through design. That is, designing with an eyes on the street approach, giving streets added exposure, provides additional opportunities to see and be seen, leading to an ultimately higher level of safety and sense of community. Thank you.
Are there any questions right now of Mr. Joshi? Okay, I don't have any questions. As the applicant, you'll have an opportunity to come back up and respond to anything that you've heard from the other delegations. Sure. So, and I may have questions at that time. Okay, thank you very much. Also registered in support here today is Chris Mailman. Registered in support, do you wish to speak? Okay, I take that as a no. You're just here in support. Okay. Steve and Marilyn Naherniak, registered in support. Are you here?
Yep.
Oh, there you are. Hi. did you wish to speak, Steve, or?
Well, I support everything that's presented. So.
Okay, so you don't wish to speak at this time. Right, this is your opportunity to speak, actually. So if you wish to speak, this is the chance. If you don't, then. Okay, so registered in support. Great. Thank you very much. Jeff Pratt, registered in support. Do you wish to speak?
No, thanks, Councillor.
Okay, so registered in support. And Mike Armstrong, registered in support. Do you wish to speak? Okay. Anybody else here registered in support who has not spoken? Anyone else? Okay. Registered in opposition, then I'll go to the those registered for information. So first registered for opposition. In opposition, again, I want to stress, to be fair to everybody, we give everybody 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes. You don't have to use it all again. And again, if you've heard somebody say something, you don't necessarily have to speak if you don't want to. It's your choice. And then councillors may have questions at the end of your presentation. So Jacqueline Nelson.
Yes.
Richard, would you wish to speak?
Yes.
Okay, please come forward. And if you can just, everyone, when you come forward, just state your name and address for the record.
Jacqueline Nelson.
Hi, welcome. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Contrary to what the esteemed gentleman said, I heard nothing about this until the August meeting when I saw the property postings. And at that time, that meeting was giving word that the meeting was supposed to be at the Legion, so a number of us went there and consequently did not arrive at this meeting until later because we didn't know that it was at this location. I don't agree with the prospect of squashing so many tiny lots into such a small area of land. I think it's rather not in keeping with the neighborhood, and I think it sets a rather unpleasant prospect and precedent for the rest of the neighborhoods around where we have been living for considerable lengths of time. And that's why I object to this proposal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No. Thanks very much, Jacqueline. Alvaro Carvalho? Hi, would you like to speak, Mr. Carvalho? Okay. Forward. Your name and address. This is all recorded, so.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Albert Carvalho, and I've been in the neighborhood for about 16, 18 years. And I love the area, and I'm opposed because I don't think this is a, it's an area of a single family homes. And this would be outrage and be too much traffic, and doesn't fit in the area at all. I'd like to see maybe a soccer facility going up. I would love to see that, to get the kids active instead of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Any questions? No, thank you. Alan Namica, I think I pronounced that correct. Mr. Namica, do you wish to speak?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm Alan Namaka, and I'm on 11 Atwood Street.
Hi, welcome.
I'm in opposition, as you stated. When I first purchased my house in 2006, I looked at the development. I looked at the open area across the street, and so I was worried about what development would be there. So I checked into it, and it was rural development, and I knew that it would have to be rezoned to be developed mm-hmm. in the city, and. So I know that there was already discussions going on about this development and that it was already put down prior, I think in 2003 or something like that. So I knew my input would be in consideration when they're going to develop new. So my input is that I object to the current development as stated as a member of our community. The multifamily housing will increase the vehicle traffic in the area and congest the traffic situation. I believe as a father of a young child, that puts on more risk on my child of getting hurt. The streets will be congested with parked cars that are overflow from the multifamily dwellings, which will further increase the risk to my child's safety. I was just wondering, is all the other infrastructures around the area being investigated, like schooling, with all the new multifamily dwellings? Is there sufficient school space available for all the influx of people? The current development, I think, will be a negative effect on my house value right now, with the multifamily dwellings moving in. I'm concerned about the transient nature of the multifamily dwellings, that they don't really have a sense of our community, which I'm a member of. And for the variances, I'm concerned about the variance that is being applied as well. Let's stop shrinking our lots, and let's making them at least the sizes that they should be, so that it gives more of our community, where kids are allowed to play in their front yards and are allowed to play in their backyards because they're large enough to do so. I find that it seems like I see that that this can be done by the development that happened behind my housing, behind my house in Hartstone Estates. That it seems like they have larger lots, and they seem to have more of a sense of our community. And I see that I don't really see why we need to put a lot more multifamily dwellings. I do see a lot of development going on North Plessis and on South Plessis, where multifamily dwellings are being already set up there, which will further tax, especially the school spaces available. I see a huge development going up on the south side. I know that our city councilors and members of Parliament take the community concerns seriously, as I've noted, when they stopped the development of the hog processing facility that was planned. So I'm sure that you can step up to the plate and listen to our concerns and help us to come to a good solution for this site. For me, I think, and everyone around here, would probably like to see the same type of development that's been done in Hartstone Estates, which is behind Atwood Street, happen in this area, where it's single, multifamily, single housing with all the access off of Pandora, so that it doesn't congest the existing streets that are already there.
Thank you, Mr. Namica. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Okay. Karen Jashin? Karen? You gave us your presentation before, Karen, but you're now able to give it again.
I'm giving you the same one because I have some new people here, and I see someone replaced John Winthrop.
Yeah, there's a new planner. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, so, but go ahead. We might have questions after.
Okay. My name is Karen Jashin, and I live at 16 Robson Street. For the past 13 years, I have enjoyed looking out my living room window into an empty field. However, I knew at one point in time that this view would include the future development of single-family homes. I am not opposed to land being developed. What I am opposed to is land being developed solely for the purpose of how much money can be made by slapping houses and condos on top of one another in as small a space as possible to maximize profits, no matter how negatively it affects the existing community. Needless to say, I am opposed to the current plans as set out in DASZ 23-2011, as well as DAV, the variance, to reduce the lot sizes. This developer has been putting forth plans since November 25, 2005, DASZ 2202, and to date has taken none of the community concerns or city or council recommendations into consideration. We spent a lot of time and effort during 2003 voicing our concerns at various community committee meetings, as well as select homeowners meeting with NovaMet to come up to a viable solution that works for everyone. NovaMet decided that it was not economically feasible to incorporate our concerns, and thankfully the application was denied. Here we are again revisiting the same concerns we had in 2003. Why? Because again, NovaMet has decided what is best for NovaMet's bottom line and nothing else. On page 10 of the April 23, 2003 minutes, John McNerney, Development Manager Coordinator for Planning, Property, and Development, stated, he indicated that the administration is in support of developing the subject lands as single-family residential use only if respects what is currently there, such as the investment in existing homes, the existing streets and street patterns, and integration with and contribution to the rest of the neighborhood. Fast forward to today. What has changed? Except for the development at the end of Robson Street, DASZ 12-2003, and the Hartstone development, all single-family dwellings. There were no new townhouse developments, no new apartment block developments. So why would the city's current 2011 administration report support anything other than what was already supported for approval by city planners in April 2003? My living room window faces Robson Street and looks out into the area under consideration for development. Why would NovaMet think that I or any other resident would want to have a view of either a parking lot full of cars coming and going all hours of day and night, or a brick or cement building blocking the sunlight from our gardens and yards? On page 11 of the April 23, 2003 minutes, Councillor Wyatt stated, he requested that a revised plan be considered with a R14 zoning designation, and he also requested that consideration be given when addressing landscaping and fencing to those that would be looking and facing onto it. On page 14 of the April 23, 2003 minutes, Eric Vogan, NovaMet representative, stated, he indicated that NovaMet wants to capture the upscale market for single-family homes as he felt competition from existing homes would address the first-time buyer's starter home market, and that Concept 5 and 8, the project cannot proceed as those alternatives are not economically feasible. Developers seem to forget this simple concept. They don't have to live in the communities they affect. They come in and bulldoze the land at maximum profits and go off to do the same thing again and again. Who has to live with their mess? The existing members of the community, people who have lived there for over 20 to 30 years. The entire neighborhood was originally constructed with minimum 50-foot lots. Over the last 10 to 15 years, developers have steadily reduced the lot sizes, 50 feet to 40 feet to 35 feet, and rearranging the garages to come off the front, eliminating the space needed for back lanes so they can maximize their profits. These sizes and designs were nowhere in keeping with the original integrity of the established neighborhoods. What's next, 20-foot lots or 10-foot lots or row housing? Why do developers think consumers want small lots? Consumers looking to buy new homes are not looking for a starter home, but a larger one as their families are growing. Where do children play on a 25-foot lot since the RM1 zoning designation only requires a 25-foot lot size? We need to give developers a wake-up call and remind them that size does matter. Design layout and integrity of the existing established community must be maintained at all times. The concept of communities within communities must stop. New housing developments should be an extension to the existing community. On page 15 of the April 23, 2003 minutes, Councillor White stated, he suggested that the situation could be resolved if the applicant considered working with city administration and area residents to revisit and change alternative concept 5 and eliminate houses facing Pandora. So here we are rehashing NovaMet's concept 3, originally submitted in November 2002 with slight modifications. Instead of two rows of 15 houses, there are two rows of 14 houses. Why are we here again wasting time and money on an already rejected concept from 2003? Again, the Transcona community members and community committee members spoke, and NovaMet chose to turn a deaf ear. Only this community committee can give the message to NovaMet and any future developers that when it gives a recommendation, then that recommendation must be followed, and not selectively. Let this community speak for us by saying loudly and defiantly, no, denied again. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Any questions? No, thank you very much, Karen. I think it's Kelly Hubin. I don't know if I could. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you wish to speak, Mr. Hubin?
No. Oh,
okay. Register in opposition. Thank you. Donna Poitras. Donna Poitras. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Donna Poitras, and I live at 31 Atwood, and I've lived there since the houses were built in June 2000 is when I moved in. And I can tell you that, yes, you have the luxury of Route 42, 87, and 90 as buses, but let me tell you, as one of the people that take the buses, they're very crowded. The developments have been built in Lakeside Meadows, Mission Gardens, and the buses have not increased. When I get on the bus in the morning to go to work at Atwood, I'm standing till the time I get to downtown. So you need to increase the bus services. As far as trying to cross the street, there has been many times that I can't cross the street for a good 5 or 10 minutes. I find that unacceptable, that I can't cross the street to go catch my bus, and I may miss my bus because of that. The traffic is speeding up and down Pandora. There need to be something to put stop signs so that people recognize that people have to cross the street. I'm not sure why we need to build apartment complexes in this area. I don't oppose to houses. I do oppose to small lots. And if you're looking to attract families with children, then they too need a place to play. If you want to put something around there, maybe you need to put a park there for the children to play. And I'm also concerned that I've lived there since 2000, and that road has deteriorated so bad that we finally got it fixed, that I'd hate to see it be deteriorated with your building on this property across. And those are my main issues that I have, Councilor Mayor.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Don. Righto. Any questions? See none. Thanks, Don. Joyce James? Did you wish to speak, Mrs. James?
Yes.
Okay. Come right forward. Have a seat. Just state your name and address.
My name is Joyce James, and I live on Peak Avenue.
Okay.
And I opposed.
Number 835, right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not opposed to single-family housing, but I am opposed to the apartments and the row housing. I find right now there's a traffic problem in the area, and this is only going to add to it.
Okay.
And we've lived there for over 30 years, and it was supposed to be a park at the end of Peak Avenue at one time. So I am opposed to the apartments and the row housing.
Thank you very much. Okay. Appreciate it. Made a note of it. Sorry, any questions?
No?
Okay, thanks. Joseph and Elise St. Denis. Hi, do you wish to speak?
No, we don't.
Okay, register in opposition. Thank you. Sherry Hansen and Brian Cooper. Register in opposition. Do you wish to speak? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Hooper.
Hi. Brian Hooper, 905 Kernahan. My wife and I guess, are some of the newer people in the neighborhood, and we've been there for almost 6 years.
Okay.
We feel that this plan doesn't really fit in with the community. There's no townhouses except for what's been there since, I don't know, the 60s or 70s. Everything else being built is all single homes. Heartland Estates, single homes, whatever you call that, the end of Robson, single homes. We fully expected to what could be built would be single homes and behind us. And as part of what we feel, a lot of people that move in the community stay there for a long period of time. We hardly see anyone sell and move quite often. Maybe, I don't know, 1 or 2% of the population move around in that neighborhood. Putting in a multi-family complex, you're going to have a lot of people that move in and out at will. There's going to be really a lot of people that don't care so much about the community.
Okay. Great. Any questions for Mr. Hooper? No? Okay, Mr. Hooper. Thank you very much. Grace Page? Grace Page? Hi. Hi. Sorry, I didn't see you there. Yes. Would you like to speak?
Yes, I would.
Okay, please.
My name is Grace Page. I'm the original owner of the home at 147 Cedar Grove Crescent. I've been there since 1986, so that's 25 years. I've watched the neighborhood develop, and certainly the development up until now has been totally acceptable, maintaining sort of the character of the neighborhood. I'm definitely opposed to the high density households being proposed in this area. Something I'm not seeing is how many households are going to end up in that multifamily plot, RMF-M. I hear tonight that there might be a 55-plus building. Those are usually three, four stories high. That's definitely not in character with the neighborhood. I also have concerns about the traffic. First of all, I want to address this back lane that's going to be coming behind RMF-S, accessing Pandora Avenue. That's going to be just meters away from Atwood Street, and I can see that as an accident waiting to happen. As somebody pointed out, there's a lot of traffic on Pandora these days since the east end of Transcona was developed, plus Hartstone Estates. It is a long wait sometimes to try and get on to Pandora, especially if you're turning left to go downtown, which is pretty much what everybody in this area has to do to leave the neighborhood, unless they're going east or south. I can see someone making a right-hand turn off Atwood onto Pandora and someone making a fast exit from that back lane onto Pandora to beat the traffic, and I can just see that being a very, very dangerous spot. You add more higher density population to the other plot of land there, and I'm just seeing this to be look like Keniston in terms of people, you know, racing around and trying to beat the traffic. So that's one of my concerns, and as well as just disturbing the character of our nice, quiet neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. I've noted it. Any questions, Mr. Page? No, thank you very much. Carolyn Versteeg? Register in opposition. Thank you. Rachel and George Gibberney. Rochelle, I'm. Okay. Thanks very much. Register in opposition. Susan, I think it's Susan. Susan Line, is that right? Yeah. Hi. Register in opposition. 75 Atwood. Thank you. John O'Neill. Did you wish to speak, Mr. O'Neill? Sure.
I'm John O'Neill. I live at 897 Kernahan Avenue. I have several reasons for opposition to the development project, most of which have already been addressed by other people in the community. The increased traffic flow, for one thing, is a big concern. I have two young school-aged children. I'm already afraid to let them ride their bikes on Kernahan Avenue as it is. The increased traffic flow, I think, would just make it 10 times worse. I agree the traffic along Pandora Avenue is very heavy at times, and that back lane, as was just said, is going to be a disaster. I can see people waiting to make a left turn into the back lane and just tying traffic up all the way to Plessy. My biggest concern actually is more of a selfish nature. I bought the last vacant lot on Kernahan Avenue back in 2001. The biggest reason why I bought it is because there was an empty field behind it and it didn't look like they were planning to do anything with it. And I really appreciated the fact that I had a nice open view of my backyard, so much so that I put a chain link fence across the back of my yard as opposed to a wooden fence so I could enjoy the view all the way to Regent Avenue. Since living there, we enjoy seeing the geese walking across the field, feeding them out through the fence. On three occasions, we've had deer in the field behind us. We quite enjoy the green space. I don't see why we have to fill in every available square inch of green space with houses and apartments and townhomes. I mean, there's so many huge developments going on everywhere else. It's like, can we not leave a little patch of green here and there for people to enjoy. Maybe put a park for the kids to play in, a ball field, plant a few trees, a walking path, something. Leave it as green space. You know, there's enough developments everywhere else.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. O'Neill. Any questions? No. Okay. Okay. Anybody else registered in opposition that I did not call your name? Do you wish to speak in opposition? I have some folks registered for information. I'll read now. But is there anybody else registered in opposition? This is your opportunity to be registered to speak. Yeah, you can, absolutely, you can change it when you come forward. Yeah, so, yeah. You didn't register? Just go outside if you could. Is the person still there or no? No? Okay, Carlos will just go help you right now. We'll just take a quick minute break here for a sec. Deal with it when it comes. So, okay. All right. We have another person who's registered in opposition, just registered. Leanne Policelli and Kevin Clausen, do you wish to speak? Or just register in opposition? Okay, great. Thanks very much. Greg Downey, registered for information.
Yeah. And actually, if you're lying, you change that to opposed, now that I have
some. Sure. Okay. Do you wish to speak, Mr. Downey? Okay. Thanks. Alan and Joy Bulkwill. Hi.
Hi.
Register for information at this point.
Joy Bulkwill, 35, Atwood. I'm a little concerned about the back lane. Where are people going to park when all these people come to visit all these people in the townhouse? Because there's no parking on Atwood. And I also want to know, where does this street come out on Atwood? Is it right in front of my house? That's all I have.
Yeah, when you say the street, you mean the new street that is being, that street. Oh, that lane. Okay, the lane coming out there. Okay, not the street coming through. That one there. Okay, all right. The applicant has a chance to come back and speak. He'll have a chance to address your questions there, Ms. Baldwell. Thank you. Lane access. Okay. Joseph and Gail Martel, register for information. Hi. Did you wish to speak? Sure, yeah.
Joseph Martel, 39 Atwood.
Yep.
It's pretty much to do with what this lady was just saying in regards to the parking. The way that Atwood Street is laid out, you can only park a car in front of every second driveway. So the street is 20 homes long, so you can put 10 cars on the street. So what, that's what our concern was, like where all these Mother's Day, Christmas people come and visit. If as long as the developers in their infinite wisdom have already provided visitors parking, that would be acceptable. And there's also the traffic aspect. I live on Atwood, of course, and I can look at Robson Street all day. Mm-hmm. And on the corner of Peak, there's a stop sign on the corner of Peak, and people don't even slow down. Mm-hmm. Zoom, it's a drag strip.
Okay.
And it,
go ahead.
No, go. No.
I was just, so right now on Atwood, the parking is on the west side? West side.
The parking is on the west side of Atwood.
Where the houses
right.
are now.
That's right, yeah. Okay. And there's only parking on one side of the street.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And traffic is, of course, it's also a concern. Since the city has resurfaced our street this spring, they did a real bang-up job. Mm-hmm. The speed limit used to be 30 clicks, or 50 clicks. Now it's 50 miles an hour.
Yeah,
zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a drag strip. There's a lot of young families. And that's my word.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Martel. Thank you. Any questions? Christopher Moranchuk. Hi. Did you wish to come speak now, Christopher? And I'll change it to opposition, you were saying, right?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay. So Christopher Moranchuk, 78 Cedar Grove Crescent. I guess most of my concerns have been addressed by the folks that have spoken before. I've only been there for coming on 3 years now. We just had a young son. He's just over a year old. And that green space, actually, my wife and I have talked about that lots until we noticed the development plan sign sitting out there. Oh, wouldn't it be fantastic if the city were to approve green space in there, somewhere for all the young kids in the neighborhood? I'm not opposed to the single-family dwellings. As was said before, that's what's in Hearthstone Estates, just behind us. I think that's fantastic. I think they need to stick with what's there. Bringing to light some of the stuff from 2003, as I wasn't there, that was interesting to note that stuff like this has been turned down previously. So I just think the developer needs to look and stick with what's in that neighborhood and go with single family, in my opinion. So.
Okay. Any questions? No? Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else who wished, who did not register to speak or register for in opposition or for information, this is your opportunity. Anybody else who wishes to be registered for information or in opposition on this item? No. Sorry about that. We have to have some sort of process, otherwise it would be anarchy with a large crowd. But thank you. Anybody else? No. All right. I will ask the applicant to come back forward and to address the questions and concerns that have been stated. There's a couple in here that have to be changed. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Joshi.
With respect to the previous application that occurred in 2003, that didn't include any of the multifamily components that we're looking at here. It was all single family, and that was turned down in 2003.
Can you speak up?
Because I have a bit of a cold.
Oh, sorry.
That was
you can pull it closer to you if you want.
That was turned down in 2003. So in terms of how this plan was developed, we looked at the direction that the city has indicated it wants to go, and what we're trying to provide here is a housing mix that will address a variety of people that would want to live in that neighborhood. And that's how we came up with the scheme we did come up with. It is an iteration of a previous scheme that we had done with respect to these single family homes that we had provided there. We tried to provide as many entrance and exit points to facilitate a freer flow of traffic and to make sure that there wasn't going to be added traffic going onto these streets unnecessarily. We did have a preliminary traffic study done, and it's indicating that at the unsignalized intersections, there is no change in terms of AM or PM traffic volumes, peak traffic volumes. We've also looked at the existing services in the area, and they are all available and have capacity to accommodate the proposal that we're suggesting here. And in respect to the RMFM site, we had discussions with a builder developer for that particular site, and in fact we have asked that, and this reflects that request, that the buildings actually be pushed further towards Pandora Avenue to provide a greater buffer between apartments and the single family homes as well. So we understand what is being said here to a certain extent, but at the same time, you know, we are looking to support what the intent of our Winnipeg and the complete community structure is. So hopefully that'll be seen here, that this is not any sort of attempt to cash grab or line our pockets with money.
Was that all?
Unless there's other questions?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have questions here. In terms of the when you said the services, I'm assuming that the schools were canvassed, the school division, in terms of space and in the schools. I don't know if you would answer that or the planner.
For all sorts of these applications, the school divisions are circulated, and they didn't express any concern with this proposed development.
All right. In terms of the back lane, we heard that. What's the back lane coming out onto Pandora? That was a concern that was expressed.
Well, we looked at. I mean, that's a back lane that services simply the 16. Townhomes, and what would occur is half the traffic would go towards Pandora, the other half would go via Atwood back up to Pandora. We would possibly look at making that a one way, so that you can only exit onto Atwood and back up onto Pandora, if that works.
You're talking the back lane.
The back lane, yeah.
Making the back lane a one-way. Okay, right. Okay. Not the street.
Not the street, no.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. You mentioned in your presentation that, in terms of the RMFS, that if that were not to be townhouses, that you would look at single family. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I heard you say that?
Yeah, if we find that the market is not supportive of something like that.
I see. So if this committee were to say that has to be single family, then that would be?
Well, we would certainly
work with that.
Work with that, yeah.
I see, okay. In terms of the RMFM, I mean, that's what we heard. I heard over and over again from the residents that we've heard at the hearing is the concern about the density. And you know, a few folks were saying, you know, no development or whatever, but you know, whatsoever. But by and large, I think the majority of people said, yeah, we understand that it's going to happen, but it should be consistent with the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that?
Again, we felt that what's being proposed here is two buildings of approximately 70 units. They are market rental housing, and the density that we were looking at was put onto the Pandora frontage there. It is facing a light industrial commercial component, and we just felt that it was an appropriate use for that particular section of the site.
Mm-hmm. When your application, I know this is not pertinent because it's a number of years ago now, but in 2003, what was the application for?
I believe it was for single-family homes, and they were backing up onto Pandora, and they backed up onto Atwood as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was concern at that time, I believe, of
right.
Not facing Atwood.
Right.
Okay.
Here we've oriented everything towards the principal and flanking streets.
Okay.
So everything has frontage.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions at this time? Councillor, do you have a question, Councillor Steele?
I don't know if I missed it, but how many units in there, or how big are they?
The multiple family?
Yeah.
The multiple family. How many units in the multiple family?
There's two buildings of approximately 70 units
each.
And the RMFS is 16, and the R1M is 28.
So 70 in the multiple family, or actually 140.
Right.
Multiple family. And how many in the townhomes?
16.
16.
And 28.
And 28 single family on the extended. Okay.
Right.
How many parking spots?
For the multifamily?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
We haven't, I believe we're in excess. We're not the proponents for that. So that was supplied to us by the builder who would actually be doing that. But my understanding is it is in excess of the parking requirement.
Is it in the, what's the ratio on that?
It's 1.5 spaces per unit.
Any other questions, Councillor Steen? No? Okay. And what is the standard in terms of spaces?
In terms of width of spaces?
No. In terms of number of spaces.
Number of spaces would, well, for a multifamily would be 1.5 spaces per unit.
That meets
yeah, that's zoning. What's required by the zoning bylaw. Okay. If we go less than that, obviously triggers another public hearing.
But it requires a variance.
Yes.
Right. But they're not varying that then today?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Has your Qualico Novamed's a very large company. Have you looked at other scenarios for this site?
We have a number of scenarios going back to 2002, 2003 that were being touted around. But this is the latest iteration that we are working with.
Well, knowing, it wasn't your fault, the mess up with the hearing locations and everything else, the fact that you applied back earlier this year, maybe mm-hmm. even the end of last year, had your meeting with the community, but the issue of the hearings and it dragging on, would you be prepared to, go back and I know it would be another layover to another meeting, but to look at some other options in terms of design on the site? In terms of the density?
To reduce the density cost?
Yeah, that's right. Versus not doing anything at all, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. I think that, I guess if so we don't waste time here, if just some suggestions would be from the previous experience in 03, I think what you've done here in terms of the RMFS facing Atwood versus the properties where you had before where they backed on Atwood, I think that was a positive development in the sense of how you have the layout. I agree with the residents in terms of the lane. I think you want to limit your access out on Pandora. I think it's something that is problematic because of the traffic coming out on a Pandora mm-hmm. from that lane. So you'd have to look at some sort of design that would take that into consideration, if you follow me. I appreciate your offer in terms of the RMFS, looking at single family instead of the, and I think that would be consistent with the street on Atwood. In terms of the RMFM, I think, maybe that's where you'd be looking at the RMFS, instead in terms of the town, less density, because it is, You know, I know the product that you have there, and that you're, the company you're referring to, they're building all over the city. It is a, you know, it's one thing to look on a picture, a pretty picture, but when you get up close, they're, you know, they're, I mean, they're impressive. They're large, right? I mean, they're big, and they would definitely have a quite a footprint on the site in that sense. I know what you said in terms of the Plan Winnipeg is absolutely correct in terms of density, in terms of mixed neighborhoods and everything else. You know, the struggle we're having here is just you're dealing with an existing site, which it has a long history, this site. It's not just to 2003 before that. The site actually belonged to the city of Winnipeg at one time, decades ago. I don't know how long ago. But in a, because of a lawsuit between NovaMed and the city ceded this land to NovaMed because they lost the lawsuit. I understand they lost the lawsuit, and NovaMed won. I could be wrong on that, but I believe that's the history of the site. So I think there has to be some flexibility in terms of the development in that because of the fact that at one time it was a city of Winnipeg property. So I would hope if you could take that, those thoughts away. I don't know if you have any questions. You know, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I think the RM1 I think is the single family medium is consistent with the neighborhood. It's backing on a single family on Kernahan that's existing already on the north side. But again, I think you just have to relook at the density here. I agree with you. There's bus routes and there's proximity to Regent. It's, and maybe it's a question of reducing the overall impact on the site if there's an RFM option. It, you know, looking at something that's less than 140 units, you know, in two large buildings, right? I know this developer that you're talking to tends to build buildings in terms of two or three, no less than that. But I also know that you have a multiple family arm yourself as a company in terms of development. And so you have great resources at your fingertips to look at these options. So if you could do that, it would be appreciated, and then we could deal with it in a month from now. I will not close the public hearing portion of this so that you can actually come and speak again if you want to. And at that time, hopefully, we have a new design to look at so we can see what options are available.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, and go from there. So with those thoughts, was there anything else you wanted to add, Mr. Joshi?
No.
Joshi? Okay. I don't have anything else at this point. Councillors, did you?
I'll move layover for you?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay, I'll move layover to the November meeting.
November meeting, which is what's the dates?
November 15th, 6:30 at the Transcon Legion.
So November 15th at the Transcona Legion. That's upstairs, not downstairs in the bar. All right.
Everybody that's registered will get a copy of a letter notifying of the date, time, and place of the hearing next month.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Aye.
All's in favor.
Aye.
Opposed, carried.
And that motion was for both the variance and the...
Yeah. Right. Yeah.